Well, good morning. I think I've heard that little bit of music over the last 3 years too many times. I'll be dreaming of it. Welcome to our service here this morning. A few notices before we begin. We are having communion and the children will come back and have communion. So if you come back in, sit with your parents and your parents can decide whether you take communion or not. There's no youth group this morning, but if you normally are in the youth group and you want to go and help out with the kids, I don't think you'd be turned away. So you're welcome to go if you really would struggle to sit through the service. That's right, Diana, we said they can go and help, didn't they? Yeah, you can go out and help if you'd like to. Just a couple of announcements from the church meeting. So Liz Jenkins was duly re-elected as elder and stands next term, although I think she said this is your final term, isn't it?
I do.
I'm sure. So I'll say that publicly as well. So just keep reminding people that she has said this is our final term. And also the church meeting agreed that Diana Parr would take on the acting pastor's role. So anything you would have talked to me about, now you can talk to Diana about in this interregnum period. And there's a really helpful prayer guide. If you haven't received this, this tells you what's going on in the summer and sets out the process come the autumn as well with church meetings, prayer meetings, how you can get involved and how you can pray. Please do pick this up. It's really important that you have one. Also, for my sermon, you will need one of these little cards. If you don't have one, we'll try and get one to you. So maybe you can make that. You've run out. Oh, sorry. I guess you could share it with someone. You might be able to share it with someone along the way. And finally, there's an Eco Festival planning meeting this Wednesday at 7:30 in the church. All are welcome. Chris would love others to join the team if you'd like to get involved for planning that Eco Festival, which is in September the 10th is the festival. Okay, I'm going to pray for us, then hand over to the team this morning. Lord God, we thank you for the rich heritage of this church. For many decades, church ministers and congregations have gathered to honor your name, to give you worship and praise, and we do that this morning. Amen.
Good morning. It's lovely to see you here. Please stand as if you're able.
Worship his holy name.
my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never. Your holy name, I'll worship your holy name. Yes, I'll worship your holy
Now it's time to join Diana and Clive.
Well, good morning, everyone. We hope you're all well and that you've coped all right with the extreme weather that we've had this week. How are you, Clive? How have you coped in this hot weather with all that fur? You've been fine. You're used to very hot weather. And you're far too excited to worry about the heat. What are you excited about? You found a really old map. You think it's a treasure map. Oh, can I see? Is this it? Wow, it does look old. Why do you think it's a treasure map? It has lots of crosses on it. X marks the spot. That's where the treasure is. There are rather a lot of crosses. Are you sure that it's a treasure map? I don't think that these crosses mark the whereabouts of treasure. I think they mark where the crossroads are. Why are they cross? Is it because they haven't got any treasure? You would be cross if you dug for ages and there was no treasure. The roads aren't cross. They're crossroads. Isn't that the same thing? No. They're called crossroads because it's where two roads cross over each other and make the shape of a cross. Not because they're angry. So I don't think this is a treasure map then. Sadly not. That's disappointing. Crossroads make you cross. Why? Because you have to stand for ages deciding which way to go. Unless you have a map or a compass. Or if there's a signpost, but you can't read very well. A map and a compass always help you find the way home. Yes. Did you know there's a verse in the Bible that speaks about standing at the crossroads? It says, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it and you will find rest for your souls. That's what you do. Stand at the crossroads and look. But which way is the good way? Is it the way that takes us home? Well, you could think of it like that. The good way is the way that God wants us to take, the way that He has planned. It's the way that leads us closer to be with Him. And that's like coming home. When we walk God's path, we find rest for our souls, which means we have peace in our hearts. But how do we know which is God's path? Well, that's when I think we have to stand still and look. If we go rushing on without thinking, we can easily take the wrong direction without realizing. But when we slow down and when we spend time in prayer, waiting, and listening for God's voice and looking into His word, then God will show us the right path. It's a bit like having a map and compass to direct you. A compass that always points to God. That's right. God's Spirit and His word give us direction. And then we find the treasure. We find rest for our souls and the peace of the presence of God. Rest and peace sound like good treasure. They are. And having His presence with us is a treasure that's worth waiting for. You're disappointed this isn't a real treasure map, though. Never mind. I'm sure that cake will cheer you up. And there should be lots of cake today after the service. And that's good treasure too. Yes, but it's time for us to go now. So we'll say goodbye for now. It's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from Clive. And we'll see you again soon. Be blessed.
Well, we'd love to pray for the children as they go out and any young people who want to tag along as well. Lord God, we thank you for our church family. And bless those in our care. I pray that we would love and nurture them well. Amen. Well, children, see you in a bit when you come back for communion a little bit later. So Gillian and Diana are going out. Well done. Well, if you have a Bible, you can turn to Jeremiah, or you can actually just look at the poster over there. It's the same Bible verse that we're going to be reflecting on this morning. I'll read it to us. Dinah and Clive have already done a good job of sharing it this morning. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Jeremiah 6. Verse 16. It was our verse for the year all those years ago in 2018, before we even heard of coronavirus and pandemics. I reflected on it and I felt I wanted to share in my final sermon because I think it pointed us in a really clear direction. And the verse has a journey to it. It's a journey that we're going to go on this morning as we reflect on it. Let me pray and then we'll reflect together. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the story we're part of and the journey we're going on. I pray that you would move us this morning. Move us on in our journey, in our walk with you, that we might find something of the good way in our lives. Amen. A little bit of context, because it's good to know what on earth Jeremiah was going on about. Well, Jeremiah was born into political and religious catastrophe. During Jeremiah's lifetime, Judah would have gone from an Assyrian vassal state to total destruction by the Babylonians. Jeremiah lived in a world similar to Game of Thrones. I don't know if anyone's watched that. Kings rise up and then they fall down. Laws changed, religions were forgotten, temples were destroyed. Jeremiah was born during the reign of Manasseh, who was widely regarded as Judah's most evil king. He oversaw social oppression, injustice, violence, bloodshed. Manasseh followed on by his son Amon, who was equal to his father but reigned for a shorter time. Light dawned. When Josiah was born, he brought reforms to social and religious structures of the day. After 18 years of his rule, the Book of Laws was discovered in the temple, dusted off the old book. A version of Deuteronomy was found, which Josiah was more determined to bring back and bring about change. Just as this was happening, just as something of a dawn of scripture, something of the ancient way was coming back, the last strong Assyrian king died. Egypt was resurgent. Then Babylon came along. Nebuchadnezzar finished the job. Jerusalem was surrounded. And after the 18th month of the siege, the city fell to the Babylonian armies in 587 BC. The army fled. The king was captured, blinded after watching his sons executed in front of him, carried off in chains to die in Babylon. Many of the people who knew the story were rounded up, taken off, captive, in exile. The unthinkable happened in those days. The city and the temple were destroyed, burnt to the ground, people driven out of their land. Jeremiah's words of warning were to a corrupt, broken, ravaged, rotten society. Jeremiah was God's man speaking truth into these dark days. It was a call to seek God, not idol worship, not money, power, or control. Judea was at a crossroads. The kings and the rulers rejected the good path and ultimately found destruction. For anyone who thinks that our age is a godless age, you might want to do a little bit more reading of what was going on in this time. The context of the passage is important. But scripture is to be reinterpreted today. This verse was probably in Jesus' mind when he urged people to submit to the yoke of obedience to himself, thus placing himself in the role of the law. So Judah was called to the Old Testament laws of Deuteronomy. In the New Testament, it was a call to Jesus Christ. So what might we learn today from this passage? Like any verse, it can be over-interpreted, but there are some key elements and a key journey that we'll reflect on this morning. Stand at the crossroads and look is the passage. Standing isn't a passive act. It requires a deliberate lack of movement, something I'm not very good at. I move around all the time. Now, you can stand and still be moving. Put yourself on an escalator. You can stand still, but you're still moving up a flight of stairs. You might be standing, but you might not be still. I'm no expert, but I kind of Googled it, and it says it requires at least 50 muscles to stand still, to be working hard so you can stand still. It's not an inactive position. There is a movement, though, to find ourselves in a standing position, which is only really achievable if we are still for a while. It was a call to be still that was one of the first things we reinstated on the wall, lost to the technological advances of projection screens, yet reinstated a number of years ago. There are many things we miss in our faith because we move too fast. In an age of speed and fast, standing and looking have got lost by the wayside. Stillness and silence are valuable friends in our walk with God. In a reflection I read this week, it says this: stand still and allow the deadly restlessness of our tragic age to fall away. That restlessness was once considered the magic carpet to tomorrow, but now we see it for what it really is: a running away from oneself, a turning from the journey inwards that all people must undertake to meet God, dwelling with the depths of our soul. We are a restless age. Now, I want to picture yourself for a moment. Put yourself in the center of a screen. With your mind's eye, zoom out. Place yourself on that crossroads that Diana and Clive talked about. A freeze frame of your life right now. Maybe you at work do annual reviews, 360 reviews. Anyone hate those? Yeah, where you're supposed to look around you, see how you're impacting those alongside, those you manage, and those who manage you. We have the joy of school reports come the end of the year. A physical document that says how you have done this year. Maybe you have a health checkup where someone looks at you and sees how healthy or not healthy you are. I want us this morning to stand, not in the corner of the room, because you see, the NIV translates crossroads. It's the Hebrew, derach. This crossroads isn't just standing in the corner. It's a road, a path, a journey, a direction, a manner, a habit, a way, a course of life, moral character. This crossroads is bigger than just being in the corner of the room. Stand still. Tarry at the roads of your life. There's an action. We're to look. What do you see? And if you have your card, it's where we're going to write a response. Stand at the crossroads and look. What do you see? Picture yourself in your life, zooming back. What's going on around you? What big things? What small things? Then there's a little space either side of the little bod. Where you might want to write something down. What are the big things that are going on in your life? Maybe they're not big things. Maybe they're little things. Maybe they're major life-changing things. Write down in the space, what do you see? I'll give you a couple of minutes just to reflect and write. Well, hold on to that card. We'll reflect a little bit later about what you've written. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is. Jeremiah was calling on his people to look back at the original covenant of Sinai. It wasn't about thinking there was something intrinsically good about ancient ways. It wasn't about that. It was look back at our story. This isn't harking back to the good old ways. It's about look at your foundation. There are good and bad in all things. It was to look at the foundation of the covenant that was important. This was the ancient way, the good way. To not forget God's promises when everything looks desolate and wasted. It was the promise of Israel through Abraham. Look back at the good way when life is difficult. If we look at this, we can maybe interpret it, well, we all need to think about ancient religion. That's how we are to walk with God. The path is the important part. We all need a path that chimes with our soul. There's no growth in frustration. We're to find a way of connecting with God. I wonder where your path is. Maybe you've been challenged over the years by the contemplative movements, the charismatic movement, liturgy, meditation, mindfulness. There are so many ways that we can explore a walk and a path with God. We need to ask today, where is our path? Does it need shaking up a little bit? Does it need moving a little bit faster? Does it need stretching? Has it become too familiar, too staid? I was thinking about listening to music this week. We have Apple Music on our iPhones. You can search any playlist you want. Any song in the world is on there. Everything is accessible at the touch of a screen. Contrast that to a vinyl record. Toby got a record player for his birthday present on Wednesday to replace the very poor one that he'd inherited from Claire. Contrast the iPhone to taking a record, and I did this week. You take it out of the sleeve. You place it onto the deck. You press two buttons. You wait. There's a few clicks. Gradually descends. You can't jump a song. You allow the record to play in front of you. There's no skipping. The record tells the story. It plays, and when it's finished, it clicks and resets itself. There is something in that experience that is beyond the music. You see, we have access to everything at the touch of a button. But our oath to God requires us not to hit shuffle, but to journey through the full experience of faith. And there might be scratches in the record that bump along. And maybe you've got scratches in your life that have impacted you and affected you. A walk with God comes through waiting, allowing our faith to play through, not jumping to all the best bits and ignoring the rest. It is allowing the good and the bad to flow over us. The experience of walking the ancient path is the message that we live out. It's the message of the cross. The good way is found in Jesus Christ. He is the good way. He's the one who speaks into our crossroads, speaks into our silences. So we hold our question, what do we see? What do we see, and then what is the good way in our choices? What is God's way in our life? It is to walk in such a way as to make the crossroads and Jesus' rule of life coincide, that they walk in harmony. Because at our crossroads, it's not a path, it's our way, our vision that we should be seeking, but God's way, God's vision. It's no good saying that I lack faith and never doing anything about it. There's no point learning new things and never changing. We're asked to learn. That means we are to wrestle with Scripture, understand what it means today, because it's not what it meant in the past. If it was, we wouldn't have had Christians participating in slavery, misogyny, homophobia, any form of hatred in this world. Scripture's interpretation changes, and we are to wrestle with it today. Scripture's not a library book or a dictionary dusted off when we need to settle an argument about who's right and who's wrong. It's a living book, an ancient story that's there to empower us through the Spirit, to cut into our lives and into our world. We need to continually ask, where is the good way in our walk with God? But it's not just knowing the good way. We are to walk in it. Knowing the good way and living the good way are two very different things. There's no hypocrisy in a discipleship walk with God. What you say is what you do. We can't disconnect ourselves. We might make mistakes and we own them. We put our hands up. We can't say one thing and do something else. Jeremiah knew it wasn't going to be enough just to say to the scattered nation, there is a good way. He knew he had to say, you've got to walk in it daily. Even though everything has been destroyed, all looks hopeless, we don't just say it, we walk it every day. It was also a message to the kings and the rulers that they must turn their backs on compromise with other kings and seek to walk with God. I know what's good for me. Most of the time I don't always do it though. Maybe you're different to me. What we believe and what we can do can be very different things. No more so in the compromises we can make and the reasoning behind our choices, because we do make compromises and we have to make choices. But those compromises and those choices have to be on the crossroads with the message of the cross. And you see, this verse is deeply practical. We are to walk in the good ways. Not just learn them, but to act them. To ever give up on an addictive substance, you can't just learn about giving up. You have to do the hard work of giving up. We need to do the hard work of walking the ways of God in our lives. If we're not careful, we never change. We justify our actions. Oh, it's just the way I am. I'll never change, we say. We are called to change. You're commanded to change. We need to change. We're called to a conversion, a new life, and we're to walk in it. Why though? Why all the fuss? Well, because you will find rest for your souls. That's why there's a fuss. You see, Jesus promised the same that Jeremiah was talking about. In Matthew, we learn that Judah's stubbornness to walk in the good ways was being reborn. Jerusalem under siege. Sound familiar? Because they didn't walk in God's ways. Here again, God comes to Jerusalem in Jesus Christ and offers a way of finding rest. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I'm meek and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Rest for your souls was the promise of Jeremiah, and it's the promise of Jesus Christ. See, yet again, those in power had yoked themselves to other powers rather than the powerful God. And we can all give ourselves over to other things. The choice is, do we yoke ourselves to Christ or someone else? We might think, or might practically yoke ourselves to money, security, place, friendship, position of status. But there's no rest for the soul there. There might be some alleviation, because money brings some alleviation, but there's no rest for the souls. It's a restlessness place. There is rest in our world. There's a way of living that embodies rest. I'm not talking about being lazy. I'm talking about your soul, not your actions. There's a clear promise. Stand at the crossroads, look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. So to conclude, soul rest is the goal. It's what God's community should look like, should it not? If we are living this out, the action, the expression should be a community that embodies soul rest. Let's not let division, busyness, bitterness, frustration get in the way of living that out. I wonder if that was the vision for church. How might we create soul rest as the very DNA of our church? Health spas market themselves on rest, tranquility, peace, calmness. I'm not saying the church should be a health spa at all, but to be embedded in real life. But soul spa, somewhere where we can embody this rest, this peace in a busy, hectic world. We don't look to the promises of Scripture to find that rest. What do those promises say? I've given a few people some Bible verses. Maybe now the first one would read as loudly and clearly as we can. Rest for our souls is the promise. And I wonder what crossroads you find yourselves at. I'd love to pray for us before we sing and then take communion together. Lord God, we reflect on the words that we've written on our cards and the path that we have ahead of us. For the fear that we might face, for the anxiety, the worry, I pray for a revelation through your Spirit of the path that you're leading, of the way that we're to balance out how we live in this world, how we wrestle with Scripture, how we love as community. I pray for those who are weary at the crossroads, overwhelmed, and prays that you would be their strength. And I pray that something of that soul rest would be evident in our communities, in our church, and in our lives. Amen.
Stand if you're able.
My shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still waters. His goodness restores my soul,
and I will
trust in you,
and I will
trust
in
you. I will trust in you
for your endless mercy.
He guides my ways in righteousness, and he anoints my head with oil, and my cup it overflows with joy. I feast on his pure delight,
and I
will
trust.
I will trust in you,
and I will trust.
I will trust in you
for your
endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home.
Please be seated.
Well, as a family, we would like to serve communion to you. So the boys and Claire, in a few moments, will hand out bread and wine, and we'll see how that goes. But we'll get there. Thank you for doing that. Gather us in the proud and the pretentious, the sure and the superior, the never inferior, who long for the levelling found at your feast. Gather us in the bright and the bustling, the stirrers and the shakers, the kind laughter makers, who long for deep joy found at your feast. Gather us in from corner or limelight, from mansion or campsite, from fears and oppression, from tears and depression, from untold excess, from treasured success, to meet, to eat, be given a seat, be joined to the vine, be offered new wine, become like the least, be found at the feast, gather us in. This is the table not of the church, but of the Lord. It is made ready for those who love him and who want to love him more. So come if you have much faith or if you have little. If you've been here often or if you've not been for a long time. Come if you've tried to follow and you have failed. Come not because it is I who invites you. It is the Lord. It is his will that those who want him should meet him here. This is the story that we tell. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he sat at supper with his disciples. While they were eating, he took bread, said a blessing, broke it, gave it to them with the words, "This is my body, it is for you. Do this to remember me." Later, he took the cup of wine, saying, "This is the new covenant sealed with my blood. Drink from it, all of you, to remember me." So now, following Jesus' example and command, we take this bread, this wine, the ordinary things of this world, which Christ will make special. And as he said a prayer before sharing, let us also pray too. Gratitude, praise, hearts lifted high, voices full and joyful, these you deserve. For when we were nothing, you made us something. When we had no name, no faith, no future, you called us your children. When we lost our way or turned away, you did not abandon us. When we come back to you, your arms once again open wide in welcome. And look, you prepare a table for us, offering not just bread, not just wine, but your very self, so that we may be filled, forgiven, healed, blessed, and made new again. You are worth all the pain and all our praise. So now in gratitude, we join our voices to those on the church, on earth and in heaven. Let us say this together. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord God, as we come to share the riches of your table, we cannot forget the rawness of our earth. We can't take bread and forget those who are hungry. Your world is one world and we are stewards of its nourishment. Lord, out of our prosperity at the service, put our prosperity at the service of the poor. We cannot take wine and forget those who are thirsty. The ground and the rootless, the earth and its weary people cry out for justice. Lord, put our fullness at the service of the empty. We cannot hear words of peace and forget the world at war. I'll leave that second verse out because we used to say it, but show us quickly, Lord, how to turn weapons into welcome signs and the lust for power in the desire for peace. We cannot celebrate the feast of your family and forget our divisions. We are one spirit, but in fact, history and hurt still dismember us. Lord, heal our church in every brokenness. Amen. So, boys, if you'd like to come and share the bread, please do take as you're served and eat. There's only two, so why don't you work together? You go with David. Go with David. And later he took the cup of wine and said, "This is the new relationship with God made possible because of my death. Retain the cup and we'll drink together as a sign of our unity." drink, and let us not forget. Lord Jesus Christ, you have put your life into our hands. Now we put our lives into yours. Take us, renew us, remake us. What we have been is past. What we shall be through you still awaits us. Lead us on. Take us with you. Amen. Thank you.
Please stand if you're able.
Treasure.